Hi, and welcome into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, proud to be here with my co-host, Jay Randolph Jr. Well, Jay, wait a minute. You guys know much better as STL Golf Geek. It was probably the most exciting Players' Championship we've had for a while. Personally, I had to be hoping for a Lee Westwood win, but certainly, Jay, congratulations to Justin Thomas.
Well, a giant congratulations are in order for Justin Thomas. I mean, first of all, the way he played over the final 36, he had the low final 36 by four. He hit 17 of 17 greens going into the 18th hole. One errant shot cost him hitting 18 for 18. I mean, it was a ball striking clinic. And then you throw in what the last 2 months have been like for this still young man, with the situation that occurred at Kapalua with something he said, and a lot of scrutiny was placed on it, and lost some sponsors, and losing his grandfather who was so strong for him. You know, on Saturday, Bob, he said he had to be careful because he wanted to win this thing so bad, not to put pressure on himself, and that was off the brilliant play on Saturday. And he got off to an okay start, but he hit every fairway and every green through the first five or six and didn't have anything to show for it and was one over going to the ninth hole on his round. This was a tremendous performance, a tremendous back nine on a hard golf course. Way to go, JT.
Yeah, Jay, and I think you'll agree with me. You know, when we watch Thomas play and we watch who's on his bag, Jimmy Johnson, I mean, Jimmy Johnson certainly deserves a lot of credit. He seems to be, you know, able to say the right thing at the right time.
You and I both believe and have seen with our own eyes that he, you know, I don't know that you can say who the best caddy is, but he's one of the top five for sure. And the way they work together, his knowledge of the game, it's a perfect marriage between the two. This was a big win for him. He joins Tiger, Henrik Stenson, and Rory as the only players that have won a Players' Championship, a Major Championship, a World Golf Championship, and the FedEx Cup title. So, I mean, this was big, and it sets him on a fine course towards Augusta, towards Player of the Year, towards a lot of things. And, getting kind of back in the winner's circle after some of the scuttlebutt and the disappointment of losing his grandfather, whom he was so close to, this could be the year for Justin Thomas.
Yeah, it really could. And, Jay, I got something very interesting that I want to ask you. But first, let's give a listen to what Justin Thomas had to say following this impressive victory.
It means a lot, obviously. It's a huge championship, very special. It's a tournament I've wanted to win, a tournament that I truly did feel like I was going to win at some point and hopefully multiple times. I love the golf course. It was in incredible shape this week. The greens were so good. The fairways were perfect. Rough was long. It's just a great test of golf. I mean, that's why it's a Players' Championship, and I tried to stay patient. You know, I felt like those last three holes on Friday changed the momentum for us for the tournament. You know, birdie in 16 and then that birdie on 18 was huge, and getting a little bit of momentum and then kind of rode that into Saturday and obviously had a great day. And then today it was about trying to get into position and then hang on from there.
All right, Jay, you know, I alluded to what I think is a kind of a question you probably have never been asked before. I know I've never asked anybody of this. In your opinion, and with your, you know, vast ability to play this game at a very high level, which do you think is tougher to accomplish? 2 weeks in a row on the PGA Tour, you finished second, or a win 1 week on the PGA Tour?
I still would go with a win, maybe a 3 or 4 or 5 week second or in that final group, but certainly both Lee Westwood and Bryson DeChambeau took the momentum from the Arnold Palmer Invitational and took it all the way until Sunday when the golf course played tougher and neither one had their best. Westwood gets solo second. And, you know, this is a validation from what he did last year winning the race to Dubai, because we didn't see much of him in the United States, and he's doing this in Europe, and he becomes once again the best player over there, and it's now translating over here. And great stuff again for Lee Westwood. And, you know, maybe he's got a year or two left to sneak up and grab one of those majors that's eluded him.
Wouldn't that be something special? How about the intestinal fortitude that he put on display on the 72nd hole? He's 13 feet away on the 18th hole, all right? He's staring at this putt. It's worth $500,000, and it finds the bottom. Man, oh, man, that takes some fortitude.
No, that was strong. I mean, that, you know, when you start breaking it down, and that's what they do once the tournament's over, that positioning becomes huge. He's jumped up to 22nd on the FedEx Cup list, and he's going to be one of the favorites at Honda this week in a little bit of a weaker field, which we'll talk about coming up. So solid stuff from Lee Westwood, looking primed. A lot of guys looking real good as we head towards the match play in Augusta.
They certainly do. And Jay, I got some interesting preparation for Lee Westwood, who, by the way, owns 42 worldwide victories at 47 years old. Let's give a listen to Lee Westwood after his round.
Oh, the week's been great. I didn't play my best golf today by any stretch of the imagination, but I battled it out, and I was proud of myself for that. And, you know, people question whether I can hold putts under pressure, and I rolled in a lot of, you know, must-make putts all day, really, whether it be for par or the great birdie on 14. Good par putts on 15 and 16. All right, a three-putt at 17, but it's a tough two-putt from up on that hill. And then roll one in at the last, which I guess was a little bit of justification for, you know, sticking with it, even though I probably had my C game today, and grinding it out. Yeah, I'm just having so much fun. You know, it's everybody keeps telling me how old I am, and you know, I'm 48 in a month's time, and you know, I'm still out here contending for tournaments and playing in final groups with great players like Bryson DeChambeau and, you know, Justin Thomas and people like that. It's just a joy to be involved and still playing well and being able to contend.
No doubt for Lee Westwood, how he is proving at the age of 47 that he has totally rebuilt himself physically, and he's loving the mental side with his lady on the bag. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it certainly is. Helen Story, our name, and certainly had to be nice to make a 13-footer on the 72nd hole for $500,000. But how about what Lee did this past Monday and Tuesday? He called it a dad and lads trip. They went up to Augusta. They played 36 holes on Monday, then 18 on Tuesday before heading to Honda. His son Sam, matter of fact, chipped in for an 82 on the 18th hole. Augusta, the report was playing long, and greens were rock hard. By the way, Jay, 19-year-old Sam will be his caddy for his next run of tournaments, including the Masters. Helen had picked the previous events, finishing with the players. By the way, job well done, Helen.
No question about that, and it'll be really cool now to see him with the sun on the bag as we head up towards Augusta. Like I said, a favorite this week at Honda, where he's played well. But the Masters' favorite is Bryson DeChambeau. The back-to-back weeks, different style golf courses, different ways playing. Even if you go back and look at some of the disappointment that he had at Augusta, he still made a ton of birdies and a couple of eagles. Bryson is getting maybe more consistent as well. He will be a main focus at Augusta, tying for third, along with the lefty, Brian Harman. Huge finish for him, FedEx Cup point-wise and cash-wise. And there's the always consistent Paul Casey at 11-under. Well, that's a wrap for the 2021 Players' Championship. Now our focus turns to the events leading up to the Masters. After we hear about Gateway National Golf Links just outside of St. Louis, we'll dive into the first of those run-up events, the Honda Classic.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
Taking a look at the schedule, coming up on the 25th of March, there's going to be a special golf tournament to honor the late J.L. Lewis. J.L., one of the true great guys ever to play the game, lost his life way too early to cancer. Just keep that date in mind, March 25th.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay, Jay Randolph Jr. Find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. Find me before Friday and sign up for a free $10,000 DraftKings NCAA bracket pool. It's not a perfect bracket. It's free. You can check it out on my Twitter, STL Golf Geek. You can find the voice of golf as he is listed, Bob Bubka at VOG, Bob Bubka VOG on Twitter, and you'll find him in his social media. It's the Honda Classic, Bob. Really affected. I've heard some people talk about the difficulty of the golf course affecting it. This is clearly the field, is what I'm talking about, is affected by the date. I mean, you have Arnold's event, you have the Players. Next week, the match play, and then the Masters in 3 weeks. I mean, they can't play every week, and Honda's affected by it, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is, because Ken Kennelly, who does a masterful job running that Honda Classic, Gary Furman, none better in the media room. They'll get along. It's a great golf course. The thing I miss the most about media not being there, Jay, for years on Sunday afternoon after Jack finished his stint in the NBC booth, we knew where his car was parked. And he would come in a golf cart, they'd drive him to his car, we'd be hiding behind the trunk, and then pop up with our microphone, and Jack would give us a good half hour. I mean, it was a highlight of the year, as you well know. Anytime you get to talk to the Golden Bear, it really is special.
No question, at a place that he had success and reworked as well, and the hospital benefits. So hopefully it'll be a tremendous event. We mentioned Lee Westwood. He finished fourth last year. Sung J.M. is the defending champion. You've got seven of the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings, led by Joaquin Niemann and Daniel Berger. It's 16 major championships combined. Mickelson deciding to play here. I played in the 1986 PGA Junior Championship at PGA National, and so did Phil Mickelson on this golf course. Of course, you got the bear trap, Bob, 15, 16, and 17, two of those really tough par threes and a tough par four, and then anything. You can make three or seven on 18. So, it's you know, there's still going to be great golf played no matter who's there.
And we just got a message in. They want to know, how much did Jay Randolph Jr. chop Phil Mickelson back in 1986?
I think Phil probably ended up beating me by about 18. He finished, I want to say, fifth, and I was about 33rd, but I was just happy to be there, and he knew bigger and better things were coming for him. He'll be paired with Shane Lowry, who's also on a good track and could be dangerous here, and Zach Johnson, always formidable because of that straight ball that he hits. That's a good group. Daniel Berger, Keegan Bradley, and Lee Westwood. And, of course, Westy going the right direction. Some former champions, Sung J. M. and Keith Mitchell and Ricky Fowler. And where can Ricky find a way to get better? Watch out for Adam Scott. He's also in the field at the Honda Classic, Bob.
Yeah, and he won in 2016. Ian Poulter is going to be playing. You know, all the European players have a little extra spotlight on them, of course, because of the Ryder Cup coming up later this year.
You're right, and this is a golf course where the wind can be a factor, and some of those players like a Poulter or Westwood or Lowry, who in theory, because of where they're from, have maybe a little bit of an advantage, win-wise, can be very dangerous. And looking at my DraftKings team this week, that's kind of one of the things I looked at. I took Alex Noren, and I've got Cameron Davis. It's a tough field because, you know, there aren't that many high-priced guys. I'm hoping for good play from Russell Henley, and kind of a little bit of a long shot because he's played well here twice, Ben On. So it's a little bit of a different DraftKings week, Bob, without the star power like we've had the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, this one's really tough to pick out a winner. You know, I'm going to go with the local boy, Daniel Berger. I like his chances. He's 15th in the world. He's a great ball striker. And, you know, I think maybe this event, more than some others, you know, it's the luck of the draw. If you catch the right weather, either early, late, or late, early, it can be a big advantage.
Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back to wrap up the Honda Classic next week and take a look at the World Golf Championship Match Play Championship, where Kevin Kisner, Bob's buddy, is defending from his 2019 victory. Everybody take care and be safe.